When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Okie doke. Welcome back. Whoa! Let's go. I fucked up the horizontal resolution on the show today, so anybody watching on Twitch and Kick is probably going to be fucked up. That's all right. I realized it right as I was coming on. The YouTube's Coogi, though. Kick a little something for the G's and make a few wins as I breeze through. 2 a.m. and the party still jumping cause the my YouTube cool. I got bitches in the living room getting it on and they ain't leaving till 6 a.m. So what you wanna do? Shit, I got a pocket full of rubbers and my homeboys do too.
So turn off the lights and close the door. But for what?
We don't love them hoes. Yeah. So we gon' see. Alright. Why you motherfuckers bounce to this? Smoking it. We got a big show, man. I'm late. We can't afford to be fucking around today, boys and girls. We got a big one. We got controversy in Baton Rouge, dude. We got it. Look, where the NFL is always generating headlines. Hey, this LSU shit going on right now, it's a lot of fun. And we're going to talk about that for a lot of the show. We talked about it for the whole show yesterday. And we're going to keep talking about it. We're going to talk about the coaching carousel in college football. I can't, dude. I'm going to show you guys a video of LSU's governor. Sorry. It's basically LSU's governor. The governor of Louisiana, Jeff Landry, the way that motherfucker talk. Greetings from Turkey. Thanks for hopping in, brother. So we're going to talk about the Louisiana governor, Jeff Landry, stepping in and talking about this LSU coaching carousel. We're going to talk about the coaching carousel in general in college football. Matt Rhule just signed a contract extension. We'll get into the sticky on that. Thursday night football going down in about 30 minutes. Well, let's say 40 to 50 minutes. Thursday night football is going down. So we'll get a quick sticky rundown there. We got, what else we got? I got a big-ass outline to talk about. Conflict of interest with agents. These agents, again, it's going to be an in-depth college football discussion today for the most part. Thursday night preview aside. We'll talk about team culture. We'll talk about a couple other more eclectic topics. Weird stories, football stories. Try to go off on that. But goddamn, it's a good day to be alive. We got a lot of cinema going down, baby. A lot of cinema. So obviously we talked about yesterday. LSU fires Brian Kelly. $53 million buyout becomes a major controversy. And Jeff Landry, I might just show the video now. I'm going to pull up the link so that I can watch it with you guys and mute my mic. Let's do this. I got to get it up for myself. Pause. Okay. All right, we're rolling. Let's take a look here. I'm going to mute my mic. You guys watch this, and I'll watch it with you. Big billionaire want to go to the... Big billionaire want to go up there. Dude, the way Louisiana people talk, man, I cannot handle it. It's my favorite. It's my favorite. So he's talking about conflict. We got a conflict of interest down there with the agent. I can't even fucking talk like him. Some of the stuff that he said in that Louisiana accent sounded Mexican almost. Dude! I'd love to have that guy as my governor. Let me tell you what. So he's talking about the buyouts with college football head coaches. And this is something that we've talked about on the show a lot lately. How in the hell are all of these college coaches getting these massive buyouts for getting fired? And so let me get to the point. The same agent represents the LSU athletic director, Scott Woodward, and he also represents Brian Kelly. And potentially, according to my outline, represents other coaching candidates. And so the reason this is important, you guys might know where I'm going. Dude, Jeff Landry, I got David in the chat right now. I think Jeff Landry, this is my first time meeting Jeff Landry. He seems like a bad motherfucker. He seems like he gets down and he gets up in the morning, grabs his nuts and goes out and tries to, he seems controversial as all hell, which I like. I like controversial. So he's talking about this AD, Scott Woodward. He's not going to help up picking that coach. And it's just like, can you imagine if Jeff Landry, the governor of Louisiana, is willing to talk like that about the athletic director at the state's public institution? How do you think the conversations behind closed doors go? Jeff Landry doesn't sound like a normal politician to me. He sounds like, and this is kind of true to Louisiana's culture, he kind of seems like a guy that'll take you out in the back alley and grab you by the fucking collar of your shirt and pin you up against the wall and be like, look, motherfucker, here's how we're going to get this done. You know, or whatever. He kind of seems like that kind of guy. And typically politicians to me seem like folks that say one thing to the media, but then when you see him in person, they don't want smoke. Jeff Landry doesn't strike, just in meeting him in the last 24 hours, Jeff Landry doesn't seem like that kind of guy. He seems like the type of guy that'll sick some Baton Rouge, Louisiana mafia members on you or something. And I like that. I don't mind that. But to take your public institution of your state's head of athletics and put him on a spear for everyone to hear is ballsy. I mean, but also if the governor feels that way about the AD at LSU, Scott Woodward, why would he not just try and get him fired? There's people out there, I saw an LSU alum that said today, a football alum, that said that Scott Woodward should be fired. And so if your AD at LSU isn't hiring, he doesn't have a hand in hiring the head coach of the football program, which is the single most important aspect of any collegiate athletic program financially, what does he do? What would he do? He's got to be fuming behind closed doors. But you look at the history, and Landry kind of spoke facts. There wasn't a whole lot of emotional rhetoric with that video I just showed you guys with Jeff Landry talking on. There wasn't a whole lot of emotional rhetoric. He spit a bunch of facts. He costed Texas A&M all this money. Apparently, LSU is still paying Coach O from firing him. And so Jeff Landry, the governor of Louisiana, I think, is starting a very important conversation. And that is, we got to start putting some guardrails with this college football shit, especially how much has changed. And I think he could be, among a few others, the guy that starts that conversation so that Congress finally starts taking this a bit more serious. Because it's clear that Washington, D.C., in terms of college football, it's the least of their concerns. They haven't dealt with it. They haven't done anything. And everybody says the opposite of progress is Congress. But still, I think this points to a bigger, more important issue, which is why aren't more people, why aren't more politicians speaking up on what we have going on in college football right now? College sports, but for the vast majority of the discussion, college football. I think this is great. It's great for us because we have shit to talk about in the media, and it's great for college football, really, on a macro level, because we have to have politicians starting these conversations. College football is important to a lot of these communities, especially in the Southeast, like Louisiana, like Alabama, like, you know, Georgia, South Carolina. These places, Arkansas, these places live and breathe. This is why we talk about football on this show every day. Because I believe football is a cultural fabric of any community that embraces their team, college or professional. And the passion seems to really be in certain areas with college, because you don't have much else in some of these areas. What else do you have going on in Tuscaloosa, Alabama? What else do you have going on in Baton Rouge, Louisiana? What else do you have going on in Columbia, South Carolina? What else do you have going on in Lexington, Kentucky, other than horse races? What else do you have going on in Gainesville, Florida? What else do you have going on in Fayetteville, Arkansas? What else do you have going on in Oxford, Mississippi? These football teams are the cultural identity of these places. And even in pro football, we've talked about the historic, grittier franchise in pro football. Buffalo, New York's built around the Bills. Pittsburgh's built around the Steelers. Green Bay's built around the Packers. And so on and so forth. That's why it bugs me so bad when somebody's a Dallas Cowboy fan and they've never even sniffed 200 miles within Dallas. But that's a whole nother discussion. I think it's good Jeff Landry's having these conversations. So we mentioned this yesterday. LSU is now on the hook for $53 million to pay to Brian Kelly. The AD, Scott Woodward, while he was at Texas A&M, also paid a $76 million buyout to Jimbo Fisher. And so you guys heard it in the video with Jeff Landry speaking. He is not going to use taxpayer money for this buyout. And in fact, I'm seeing from a source, if I can get it pulled up here, that multiple sources, confirm that one private donor is expected to pay the lion's share of Brian Kelly's buyout. Also, LSU Board of Supervisors Chairman Scott Ballard says zero public money set aside for education, salaries, or scholarships will be used on this buyout. So it kind of, I will say, for the most part, Jeff Landry was speaking facts in what he said, but it seems like he was a bit outraged that some of this taxpayer money was going to have, I think he implied that some of this taxpayer money was going to have to go to this buyout. And that seems to not be the case, according to Travers Mackle, WDSU. What's that? Let's check her. It's on an SI article, so I trust it. From my sources, this is from Kare Johnson. From my sources with very close ties to the LSU Athletic Department and the LSU Board of Supervisors, Brian Kelly and LSU settled his buyout for around $20 million, or around $30-plus million less than was actually owed to him, utilizing the morals code in his contract. Interesting. So they could talk him down a little bit? Very, very interesting. Still trying to figure out. Anyway, that's crazy. So they might have saved themselves $23 million, bare minimum, LSU, and only cut Brian Kelly about morals. What did that say? Morals code in his contract. So it looks like governor of Louisiana, Jeff Landry, is directly involved in this coaching search. We know that now. Landry is going to appoint a board of supervisors who will select a new coach. Could you imagine if he actually wasn't talking shit and he got Trump on there? That's how important football is to these people. I'm telling y'all, it's the coolest thing in the world to me. I'd love to live when we all blow this channel up and I can kind of go where I want to go. I want to spend my years in Oxford, Mississippi or Baton Rouge, Louisiana and just be a part of a community like that. A real SEC football community. Landry appoints Board of Supervisors, stated Scott Wilbur will not be selecting the next head coach. So what are you paying this guy for if you're LSU? How do you feel if you're the president? LSU, now, I just walked myself into another talking point here. I read on Twitter today that Louisiana State University, LSU, does not have a sitting president right now of the university. And so they were saying that the reason the governor, Jeff Landry, is stepping in is because LSU does not have a sitting president to make these decisions. Now, I cannot confirm that, but I read that online. So that's an interesting little wrinkle here. A lot of people might be. Number one, it's very important to these communities, football. And I'm glad politicians are speaking up about it. Number two, apparently LSU does not have a sitting president. So that's part of why Governor Jeff Landry seems to be speaking on these things and making these decisions. Again, kind of rehashed the video. There's concerns about taxpayer liability for these contracts, but it seems like a big school like that, this is why these big schools are as powerful as they are. You have so many people that have gone to this school, and thus, statistically, it's likely you're going to have more donors that are wealthy. So LSU's going to get, it sounds like one donor is going to cover the tab for this Brian Kelly buyout, which is crazy. And he covered on the agent, the conflict of interest there. What's that guy's name? Armstrong? Agent's name is Armstrong. Last name Armstrong represents both of them, potentially legally a conflict of interest, stating that this would be disbarred in law. I don't even know. I'm not that smart. I don't know what disbarred by law means, really. Done away with? Stricken down? I'm an expert in bird law. And again, to rehash the video, he calls on transparency on agent representation. That's a big problem in college sports today. Any agent, there's no regulations around any of this. So any guy in college sports, and coaches won't get sucked into this as much because they're older gentlemen. but some of them still might, where you get an agent that's a charismatic guy come in off the street, say, oh, no, bro, I got you, bro. Yeah. Yeah, it happens a lot more with players, but there's no regulations as to who can be an agent and who can't. Because in the NFL, you have a protecting body called the NFLPA. And I'm sure the coaches have some sort of employment association or union. And so you have these unions in place to set guardrails for what goes on between agents and players or agents and coaches. College sports does not have that. So we talked about the candidates a little bit yesterday. It was a shorter list. We now have more candidates on the list to take this LSU job. Lane Kiffin will not be going anywhere. I said this yesterday. I'll say it today. Lane Kiffin would only leave Oxford, Mississippi for Tuscaloosa, Alabama. That's the only job that he's leaving Ole Miss for. I'm telling you right now. And that job is probably not coming open anytime soon unless Alabama opens up against a terrible Florida State team again week one next year. We mentioned Marcus Freeman. A new name, a couple of new names on this coaching list now for LSU. Kenny Dillingham, right here in Tempe, Arizona, about 30 minutes from where I sit. The head coach over at Arizona State. Now seems to be on LSU's coaching candidate list. This list will continue to expand and continue to shrink as we go on. Who knows how soon LSU will make this call? Do they do it in season? I doubt it. But they are a program that's unlike many other programs in college football. They might act a bit out of character if you're comparing their behavior to other college programs. Kenny Dillingham, I think Kenny Dillingham might be a good candidate for that job. He's a lunch pail kind of guy, and I talked about this yesterday, but I don't think you have to have a Louisiana accent to be the head coach at LSU. I think it helps. I think it sure as hell helps, which is why I don't understand why Ed Orgeron is still not on this list. But Kenny Dillingham has told stories about how when he was the GA, or he was expecting to be the GA somewhere, maybe it was ASU, that he showed up day one of camp, they brought him into the office, they said, look, you're not going to be the role that you're not getting promoted, we didn't, you know, or something, because he was an intern. They said, well, you're not getting promoted. And he just said, well, I'm going to do everything so that you can't not promote me. And he ends up being the head coach. I don't mind Kenny Dillingham. Jeff Brohm out of Louisville, that's another new name. His brother, Brian Brohm, used to be the quarterback at Louisville. And I remember they had some great teams when Brian Brohm, Jeff Brohm's brother, was a quarterback. And then you think about that Jeff Brohm clip from when he was in the XFL. And he had that pregame interview. And he was going, is this or is this not the XFL? Or whatever. I can't remember what else he said. Is this not football? They were asking him like if he was okay or whatever. If he was, because he had been injured or something the week before. And he was like, is this or is this not the XFL? And he asked like five other questions and got everybody fucking juiced. That's Jeff Brohm, the head coach of Louisville. Go look that clip up. Jeff Brohm, XFL pregame interview, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Maybe I'll pull that on for the show tomorrow. The Jeff Brohm XFL interview. Eli Drinkwitz doing a great job over at Missouri. He's now on the list of LSU coaching candidates out of Missouri. And of course, taking a job at LSU would be a vertical move as opposed to being at Missouri. Sorry, not sorry. Missouri's not a power program. That would definitely be a promotion for him. It would definitely be a promotion for Jeff Brohm. Clark Lee, great first name. Clark Lee, the head coach over at Vanderbilt, doing a tremendous job. Does he take the leap to go take the head coaching gig at Louisiana State University? Again, The problem, the thing that happens to a program like Vanderbilt, we saw this happen with James Franklin when he was on his rise. A lot of coaches dogmatically treat the Vanderbilt job as a stepping stone head coaching job. It just is what it is. It stinks. I don't know how we reverse that other than a potential college football playoff appearance for the Commodores this season and a potential run at the national title. I don't think they'll do it. But if Vanderbilt were, I think the only thing keeping a coach like Clark Lea from making Vanderbilt a stepping stone program yet again in its history, I think the only thing that would keep someone like him from taking the LSU job would be pride or loyalism. I had a strength coach in college who we all knew had gotten, we were at Sam, little old Samford University in Birmingham, Alabama, a D1 AA program. And we knew for a fact for a couple of years that our strength coach, he was so good. He's one of the most influential figures I've ever had in my life. He got an offer from, and I don't want to misstate this, so I'm not going to use any names, but these are rumors I heard from my friends and sometimes from coach. He was offered a job at, I think he was offered a job interview. I'm crumbling right now because my memory's failing me, and I don't want to say stuff that's not true. But big programs, Ole Miss, Georgia, Oregon, these were all programs that our strength coach at little old Samford at the time, he was having chats with these programs, and he turned them all down because he felt like he had a job to do at our program still. He eventually went to Marshall. So that could be a factor with someone like Clark Lea at Vanderbilt. Maybe he says, yes, I know that this is a promotion from Vandy to LSU, but I have a job to do here at Vanderbilt. Some of the special coaches are like that. So that could be a factor. There's so many factors in this stuff. I was hearing Coach Ed Orgeron telling stories about when he was recruiting Joe Burrow, and it was really interesting. Just the sheer ability to know, like, this is your opportunity. You got to go and get this guy and close him out and be a sales guy, kind of. So, and then Brent Key at Georgia Tech doing a great job for those boys. We mentioned John Summerall. We mentioned Joe Brady. Interesting. And then there's one more hot coaching candidate in this list today, and it's a new one. And this is apparently an insider pick. He's a former LSU player and currently a defensive coordinator with an NFL team, Kelvin Shepard. I don't know. I think there's names on that list that LSU people would get more fired up about. Maybe they love this guy, Kelvin Shepard. Let's pull him up. Kelvin Shepard. Oh, the defensive coordinator for the Lions. Lions DC Kelvin Shepard shuts down talk of LSU head coaching job. Interesting. And that's from Pride of Detroit. It's a Lions blog. But is he talking that down because it's in season and he knows there's a job to do? We've heard head coaches talk down roles a lot before. Damn, dude. And somebody made a good point about this earlier today, about the LSU coaching staff. Show me your staff. That's what it's going to be about in any coaching search. So, what does that mean? Will the new head coach at LSU have the power to put together his own staff and create his own culture, or will he be asked to come in and create his own culture around a staff that's already pre-baked? That'll be really interesting. But the broader issues really is I think NIL is a lot like NIL has made college football a lot like professional football. Recruiting classes are a lot more like the draft. The transfer portal is a lot more like free agency. And so with that, you're going to see head coaches with a shorter leash. Obviously, in NFL, the Titans fired their head coach. Well, they had him in 2024, so that kind of defeats my point. But, you know, we're talking before the Jets came into Cincinnati and beat the Bengals at 0-7, we were talking about Aaron Glenn being fired after 7 weeks as a head coach. Sooner than that, we were talking about it on the show weeks before they got their first win at Cincinnati. And it's crazy because the college coaching carousel is going at a much faster pace than the NFL coaching carousel is. We've only seen one head coach in the NFL fired so far this season. So the NCAA, without its guardrails, with all this, it's basically pro football now. Is operating at probably, without the guardrails, even faster pace than NFL. And it might get out of hand. It might be unsustainable. And then, so Jeff Landry calls for the NCAA to create guardrails. And then the NCAA says Congress needs to act. So I think it's really great that politicians are finally starting to have these discussions. And it makes sense that the politicians starting these discussions come from places like Louisiana, where this is very important to the fabric of these communities. And if we don't get ahead of this, man, if we don't get out in front of this, college football could ruin itself. I really do believe that, because we have to be so meticulous in making sure that we do this right. College football is, for so many young men, the greatest opportunity to mold yourself and become the man that God made you to be. College football, although I didn't play, did that for me. It shaped who I am as a man. And that's just one aspect of it. With a program like LSU, you got a whole community living and breathing by these football programs. So it's a really cool thing, and we got to really be serious about having discourse around how we can make college football the most sustainable that it can possibly be. And Jeff Landry's right. Congress has got to act. They've got to get a sense of urgency with this. Because it's not just about the young men playing. That's part of it. But on a greater scale, these communities bleed this shit. It's their culture. Culture is so important in order to have the best society you can have. We got Thursday night football tonight. Lamar Jackson's coming back. He's had a hamstring injury for about a month. And the Ravens season's on the line. It's their season is on the line. If they lose this tonight, they found a way to lose this tonight, their season is over. And the Dolphins have got great momentum coming off of their best game of the season against Atlanta. The Ravens, it's not like the Ravens to have defensive struggles like they're having. It's just not. There's some crazy statistic I saw in my outline here. Maybe we'll get to it. 7.5-point spread. This is going to be a division-style game. Both of these teams are fighting for their season. This might be the most interested I've ever been in a game with two teams that have records as bad as these two teams. They're both playing for something. And Lamar Jackson's coming back home to South Florida. He's going to have them grills in his mouth dancing. He's going to be doing all this. You know what I'm saying? you know, people accuse, like, I think he's going to be pissed off. Like, I wouldn't be a bit shocked if the Ravens just freaking let loose tonight. People accuse Lamar of quitting on his team. And he was the one, by the way, Lamar Jackson was the one who addressed this team about the culture. He was the one that got these TVs, got these ping pong tables, got these cornhole tables out of the locker room. Lamar was. And he told the press that earlier this week. Wants the team to lock in and eliminate distraction. And like I said, this is a homecoming game for him. He's pissed off because of the narratives people are making about him, that he's quit on this team. He's going back home to South Florida to play this game, and the Ravens' season's on the line. I don't disagree with that 7.5-point spread that Vegas has got in place right now. Now, Miami might just have some momentum to make this a knockdown, drag-out type of game. I see this game as a shootout. Take the over. Take the over. I really see this Miami team with some momentum, possibly finding a rhythm on offense against a bad defense. And then also, you got all this emotional and spiritual backing from an MVP caliber quarterback that's back after a month-long injury and everyone's talking shit about him. Going back home. There's so many narratives here, that's why it's interesting. Will the Ravens actually feed Derrick Henry? Will they get their head out of their ass and realize that the entire playbook is going to open up when they give the big boy more carries? He had trouble with fumbling earlier in the year. He's got to take those sleeves off. I still don't think he's taking those sleeves off. 68% of the public betting money is on the Ravens. And typically, according to the statistics, this season, bettors that want to make money should look at fading the public. Can't remember the record, but the public has a horrendous record on whichever side the public heavily bet on. It's gone the opposite way a lot this season. Now, that's not an indicator of what will happen tonight, but we can only take past facts and factor it into our future probabilities. Obviously, the Ravens started this season with Super Bowl expectations. And the defense has been historically bad. 47%, this is the statistic I mentioned, 47% of points allowed by the Ravens have come in the fourth quarter. They're getting healthier as well. They're still missing some key players, but they're getting healthier. They've had the injury bug like I have seen no team ever have the injury bug. Looks like Patrick Ricard, the fullback, God, that guy's big. Looks like he's coming back, and that's going to significantly help the run game. Here's the Dolphins' perspective. They started 1-6, now have a chance to go 3-6 in a matter of 6 days. That's a big momentum shift. And they whooped the Falcons last week, beat them convincingly, best game they've played all year. My outline here says Tua is wearing a visor again. I don't know who the hell reported on that, but apparently he's 1-0 with a visor. The OC for the Dolphins, Frank Smith, moved to the sideline for the first time in 2 years, and they said it made a big difference. Sometimes that makes a difference. I remember in college sometimes when our offense wasn't humming the way they wanted it to, we'd bring our offensive coordinator, Russ Callaway, down on the sideline. And the way the guys played was a stark contrast. I've experienced that firsthand. When you bring the OC down on the field level, sometimes they're able to see stuff and make adjustments that they wouldn't otherwise be able to make. And you have this face-to-face communication with your players speaking on these adjustments. So that's an interesting little wrinkle in the narrative of this Dolphins-Ravens game. And I've said this about Mike McDaniel before. He has an innovative offensive mind. And when they have momentum behind him, they obviously are able to open up that playbook a bit more. So it'll be really interesting. The defense has also, for Miami, held opponents under 20 points the last two games. I don't know. After reading all that, I don't think that a 7.5-point spread is considered high. The over-under is 51.5, so Vegas is already on it that they think it's going to be a shootout. That might be a really high total to hit. 80 degrees, clear skies in Miami. I see both teams establishing the run pretty well. I think the turnover battle is going to be key. Whoever can force more turnovers in this game is going to win. Whoever forces more turnovers, and I think that's a pretty obvious statement. I think most games where a team can force more turnovers than the other team, they got a much better chance to win. Interesting. So that's my outlook on the game tonight. It's going on probably here in about 10, 15 minutes, so I'll try to get you guys on out of here. We're at 42 minutes, and I'm not even – I got so much shit today. It's the best. College coaching carousel, we kind of touched on it. Look, Lane Kiffin's not going anywhere. His decision is going to dominate the coaching carousel, but Lane Kiffin's not leaving Oxford unless it's to go coach at Alabama. And Alabama job's just not coming open. He's not going to leave for LSU. I'm telling you guys right now. Interesting. Yeah, and then Matt Rhule, who is rumored to be big candidate for Penn State's open coaching vacancy. He just signed an extension this morning, 2-year extension through 2032, $15 million buyout, notably lower than many. So I think you're going to see this shift happening in college football coaching contracts as we're seeing in real time all this buyout money being paid, and that story continuing to unfold. I think you're going to see universities, athletic directors, university presidents negotiating much, much harder with the agents of these coaches on their buyouts. And so I think we're seeing the start of that right here, right now. Only a $15 million buyout for Matt Rhule, the head coach of Nebraska, in his contract. And that might have something to do with Nebraska not being the powerful program they once were. But I also think these ADs, these university presidents, are seeing these headlines, are seeing these buyouts getting paid, and they don't want to be those guys. So they're willing to pound the table a bit harder to make sure that they don't have to be the next guy in the headlines paying out all that money to fire somebody. So obviously that effectively eliminates Matt Rhule from the coaching cycle, and that's why this is big news. I don't really give a shit about Nebraska football. And again, Matt Rhule says, Nebraska is our home. I genuinely believe that Lane Kiffin feels that Oxford is his home, other than Tuscaloosa, which is like a second home to him, I would guess. So we don't even have to talk about the Lane Kiffin situation. Like, he's got... My outline says that Lane Kiffin's got family ties to Florida. I don't think that means a lot. Does he want to leave home? We just said that. And apparently, this is interesting, Lane Kiffin cannot choose his own coordinators at Ole Miss currently. He might have some leverage to ask for that going forward. But why would he with the way this program's humming right now? These agents, man, these agents keep coming up in this discussion about college football. Agent representation creating complicated dynamics. Because a lot of these agents represent the same guys. These agents that have made their name in that business, especially in the niche of college football coaches, they are rolling in it. And a bunch of them represent the same guys, so they can negotiate schools against one another, and it creates all this conflict of interest that's probably not being talked about in Congress one bit. So Governor Landry wants performance-based contracts. Well, what does that mean? Incentive-heavy deals instead of guaranteed money. Put your reputation on the line. If you win, you get paid. So the concern here is will elite coaches accept this? I don't know if they have a choice to. Do they? I'm not in these boardroom meetings. I really don't know. The counter argument is the best coaches should have confidence in winning. I agree. It's really, really interesting. And then there's the booster factor to all this. Damn. I don't know what this is based on, but this outline tells me boosters now need to contribute $10 million or more annually, not one time. Jesus. And these people, these boosters, they got, that's a very obvious, but something I didn't really think of. The boosters have more power than they've ever had. If you're a rich alumni, or hell, you might not even have to be an alumni. You might just be a rich person that likes LSU football. You could get involved real quick. Just reach in your pockets. You can get involved with the program real quick and gain a lot of power real quick. So these people, these boosters behind the scenes, people's faces that you'll probably never see, are the ones that hold the most cards in all of college football. The people you'll never see. Kirk Herbstreit said, money people shouldn't have the power. They're not football people. That is an interesting, very true statement. So how do you confirm that the boosters you're allowing to get involved with your program are football people and not just egos with big pockets? If we let egos with big pockets into these tight college football circles, the game's going to get ruined real fast. But that's a really tough task. Because I don't know who chooses to allow boosters to be involved, or if there's even a vetting system for boosters to be involved. I guess they have these deep pockets, and they say, look, I've got $10 million bucks, president of LSU. I'd like to get involved with this football program. Here's what I want. Is that how those conversations go? I'm interested, because maybe one day I could get involved. Because I'm a football guy. I could help these. I could help a program. So if you're watching this and you're not subscribed to the channel, I'd encourage you to subscribe so that one day I can make a positive impact at the college football program of my choice by being a booster. Thank you very much. At least like the fucking video. God damn. Without their money, programs can't compete. Ain't that the truth, brother? We've seen a lot of programs fall off that were once powerful because they haven't caught up to the NIL game. Stanford, Oklahoma State. There's a few others, but I can't think of them right now. They're saying highlights are being sent to boosters of transfer portal targets. Films being sent to these boosters. And that creates pressure for winning, or the boosters pull their funding. So in a weird way, if we do this right, we could actually vastly improve college football. But the secret ingredient, the secret sauce, is going to be the right kind of boosters. We can't have egos. And it's really hard to find someone with deep pockets without egos. They're out there. But who's vetting them? Is anybody vetting them? And what's the process behind them if they are getting vetted? Man, we've got a lot to talk about, and we're already at 50 minutes. Interesting stuff, man. I might save some of this stuff for tomorrow.
We got a gambling investigation fallout, more information on that NBA gambling fallout. More details behind that. Apparently, there's more people that are involved with this stuff than any of us could ever fathom. It's like the Epstein list. So I've got that in here on my outline. We've got a fat ass outline today, boys. Yeah. So here's stuff that we are going to track in the next few weeks. LSU coaching search resolution. Lane Kiffin's decision. I mean, that's... I think Lane Kiffin stays in Oxford. We'll follow these situations closely. The sustainability of college football. There's not really that many. Which NFL coaches go to college? You know, that's an interesting one. Which coaches go to the NFL? Matt Rhule staying put. There was a lot of talk about him going somewhere else. Golly, man. How about Jeff Landry, man? I'm tired of rewarding failure in this country. Yeah. I'm going to save some of this stuff for later. Golly. This is great, man. We got, as my old coach used to say, we're cooking with some grace. We sure are, brother. Golly. All right, well, we're at about 52 minutes. I'm going to holler at you guys tomorrow. I keep saying it. We haven't popped on that many Madden streams lately, but got to jump in and do some Madden streams. So stay tuned for those. Subscribe to the channel for that. Obviously, if you're popping in late, appreciate you. You can go back and watch the replay of this very episode and all the episodes before it on this very channel. Just click on the channel. Click that subscribe button too. And if you want to maybe listen to a video free version of this podcast, we update the audio version of this podcast daily. It's on every single audio platform you can think of, big or small. And so, that's it for today, boys. We'll see you tomorrow. Maybe see you later on a Madden stream. And look out for daily clips as well when you're scrolling that shorts feed. We're trying to get things clipped up. It's been a little challenging the last couple of days, but out of our control. So, I'll let you guys go now. How about it?